Good morning, Bernard. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, John. How you all doing?
Well,
we're busy, but probably not as busy as you are these days.
Oh, he's on the back. I shared our text exchange about you being down on the beach, you know, parasailing. Hey, Bernard, you at Columbia, you were a, you know, Columbia Central, great basketball player. Did you play football? You played quarterback, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
Did you play football? If you can remember Coach Jim Cartwright, who
yes,
everyone knew, I believe he caught me in the hallway every single day trying to get me to come out for football and play the quarterback and wide receiver. And I don't think I want people hitting me like that.
Well, there's a reason for that, because you are now an option executive director, not an option quarterback, not an option running back. You're an option executive director.
Thanks for saying that.
Well, let's go over them. Yesterday, the Board of Control meets. They're going to meet again Wednesday. When Governor Lee set the state of emergency at August 29th, well, the season, the 21st and the 28th, obviously the first 2 weeks of the season, as of now, return August 30th, first game September 18th, championship games in Cookeville December 3rd through the 5th. Let's start right there. All three of these options have that start date and that championship date, if I'm correct.
That is correct, Greg. And, you know, that is strictly provided that the governor doesn't extend the emergency order. But when we looked at where we were, we felt like we could start there. And, again, took a lot of advice from medical professionals to see just when we could start our season. And they felt very comfortable with us starting. If we could start practicing on August the 30th, medical professionals both at the state and national level said September the 18th would be a good day for us to start.
Option one, I'll just go over these quickly and then we can get into each one of them. That way people will know. Option one, seven-game regular season schedule starting September 18th. The 32-team Division I playoffs and Division II playoffs. The TSSAA will set the region schedules and non-playoff teams get to play two more games if they don't make the playoffs. So talk a little bit about that option. Do we lose Bernard? I think we lost him. All right. While we're doing that, I'll go ahead and read the other options.
Yep.
Option two is an 8-game schedule, a 16-team Division I playoff bracket, normal Division II brackets. The only region winner and runner-ups go rather than the top four teams. And the TSSAA sets the region schedule for November 13. And option three is a 9-game regular season, 18 playoff bracket for Division I with only region champions. Division II, start the week, you know, as we mentioned. And then, though, after week 10, they go back and play week 3 on November 6th, week 4 on November 13th, with the playoffs starting on November 20th. So, Bernard, you back with us?
No, we just lost the game.
So,
it'll be interesting to see, you know, judging by the coaches, which plan they think is better, because I'm sure there's going to be, you know, coaches in favor of any one of the three plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of figuring out which is going to be the best one going forward. That's going to be the difficult part, you know, because no matter what option you choose, right, Greg, you're going to get pushback from somebody, whether it's a coach, whether it's a high school booster, whether it's parents or whatever it is. And I think it's just a matter of just coming up with the best plan possible and being definitive about that. I believe we have Bernard back with us, correct?
Hello, Bernard.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you. Yeah, you sat with all those birds. You up in a tree? What are you doing out there?
I think he's up in a hot air balloon getting away from it all.
Well, while we were reconnecting, we went over all three of the options and laid those out. And let's look at option one first, the seven-game regular season, 32-team Division I playoffs, Division II normal. You guys, the TSSAA, will set the region schedule. Then non-playoff teams get two more games as well. Just talk about that option.
Yeah, Greg, what we looked at in that option is just leaving, first of all, our playoffs, our initial playoff date as set, and have a 32-team bracket. That would start our playoffs at the same time. It would regularly start us to play. But we looked at how can we give schools the opportunity to play more contests if they do not make the playoffs. And that's why we added the statement that if they did not make the playoffs, at least give them the opportunity to go back and see if they could make up some of those rivalry games and have a, you know, at least a minimum of a nine-game schedule. That 32-team bracket does not include Division II, of course, because they do not have that many in A, AA, and AAA, and we would work with A and AA. AAA's bracket is an 8-team bracket, and they're pretty much set in quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. But we would work with those schools to try to make sure that we had the reasons schedule set. And then if you're in a small region and we did not get to the 7 games, you could pick up games to make 7 for the season. Hmm.
Option 2, 8-game schedule, 16-team Division I playoff bracket, the normal Division II bracket. This is where it had been like this back in the day. I remember only the top two went, the region winner, region runner-up, rather than the top four teams. And then you would schedule the region games, and you'd start the playoffs November 13th. Talk about that option.
Okay. Amazingly, you're right, Greg. There have been a lot of people that have, kind of wanted us to go in this direction for quite some time. We may now be forced to go in that direction where we only take the top two teams and drop 1 week of the playoffs and then have a 16-team bracket where we only bring the regional champions and the regional runners-ups to the playoffs. If we were to do that, as you said, that would give them an 8-game regular season schedule. Again, the option of, if I do not make the playoffs, that I have the option of scheduling 2 additional contests. Keep in mind that in our bylaws now, schools that do not make the playoffs can already schedule 1 additional contest, and some of them do that and play an 11th game or, you know, will play a bowl game. So we looked at that option, wanted to put that out there for the board because I know that it does work. The only thing about the first two options that you mentioned is that our schools, the negative, I guess, is that they would have to drop contracts and completely wipe out their schedule and let the Cheetos of Lake staff set the schedules for every school in the state.
Well, that should be fun.
I was just going to say, yeah, right. Option 3, Bernard, a 9-game regular season with an 8-team playoff bracket for Division I and Division II. Only the region champion would make the playoffs in Division I. What about that option?
John, think about those first-round games.
Yeah.
Where you have all number ones winning in the
Some doozies, right?
You know, we think that would be very exciting. Amazingly, this is something that I got probably a couple of hours before the board meeting. I actually got a survey from the Tennessee Football Coaches Association, and they had no idea what we were going to propose, and their proposal was very similar to this one, the third one, where we dropped 2 weeks of the playoffs. And if we were to do that, you can see it would be everyone would have a 9-game schedule. I think the unique thing about this is if you start on September the 18th, this would be the path to least resistance, where everyone would just pick up at week 5. Whatever their week 5 games schedule, that's what they would have on week 5. They would play those contests all the way out through week 11. And then the first week of the playoffs, we would go back and everyone would be required to pick up to play the week 3 games schedule. And then the second week of what would have been the playoffs, we would require everyone to pick up their fourth week of games. So now you're only dealing with the first and second week game log. And when we looked at it, as far as the regional schedule is concerned, we have very, very few schools that are that we would have to work with to work their regional schedules, you know, in for the that would miss the first or second week regional game. And some of them have the same open dates. So we looked at the difference in three as opposed to one and two. TWSAA setting over 300 and some schedules in the first two. And the last proposal, number three, we would probably be setting about 14 games and working with schools for about 14 games on that first and second week to make sure everything works out okay. And then we would have our quarterfinal round, our semifinal round, and then our championships with all regional champions competing for the championship.
Well, as far as the TSSAA is concerned, I know you're just going to make your recommendation to the Board of Control, that nine-member then, but I'm going to tell you right now, option three looks really good. I do like rewarding an extra team in each region, because a lot of times you could be the runner-up in one region and be the second-best team in the state.
Right.
You know,
so it
should be fun.
I'm just curious to know, Bernard, what kind of feedback have you gotten from coaches, athletic directors, as to which option they prefer? Bernard, you there? Hello?
I am now.
Okay. Oh, okay. No, my question was...
What kind of feedback you have?
Yeah.
Feedback. We have gotten quite a bit of feedback. I think the most feedback that I received yesterday was from coaches and administrators, just saying thanks for laying out, you know, some options that we can deal with, not really going one way or the other, just saying you all tell us which way we need to go, and we'll do everything we can to make it happen. We really haven't had any negative feedback. I think there was a lot of people, not a lot, but there were, and still there's a group of people that feels like, you know, look at the option of flip-flopping your contact sports and your, you know, non-contact spring sports. And when we looked at that, there were two things, and I said to the board that the reason why we didn't bring that to the table yesterday is that, first of all, we don't know. The pandemic, as you all know, is setting all our schedules. And so we have no idea what's going to happen. But what we didn't want to happen was we flip-flop seasons and put baseball and softball in the fall, so to speak, and then move football and girls soccer to the spring. And then come late September, we look up and the areas where the governor feels like we need to shut down schools again. And now we got spring sport athletes who have lost not just 1 year, but 2 years. We didn't think that was fair to those kids at all. And then our sports medicine advisory people, both at the state and national level, still has, and I know some states looking at that, but there are, we have medical professionals that are telling us they are very concerned that if kids play football in the spring, a season in the spring, and have to come back and play in the fall, they're concerned about injuries.
TSSAA Executive Director Bernard Childers with us. Now, I know the Board of Control again is going to meet Wednesday. As I understand it, we won't have a final decision then, but you want to have something in place, by the end of July? And I would imagine that's just to let things play out a little bit more.
Well, we want the board to make the decision and tell us what direction we need to go next Wednesday. Yes, we've asked them, Greg, to make a decision. We sent out all this information to all of our schools yesterday, as they asked us to do. They're going to talk with their school administrators. I'm sure their coaches in their area. And we expect them to make a decision on Wednesday as to which direction they want us to go.
Let me ask you this, Bernard. I know we talked yesterday. Of course, the Governor Lee state emergency now extended through August 29th. All of this contingent on it not being extended past that, so you can start practice on August 30th. Why is the state schools apparently exempt from this? Because you hear they're going to be coming in and practicing here pretty soon. They're going through their normal routines of all of the, well, you know, all the, you know, state schools that have football programs from the, you know, from the FCS to the FBS. Are they exempt from that? And conversely, why? What's the difference between high schools and colleges if they're all under the state flag?
They are exempt in the governor's order, the way we understand it. And we did reach out to the governor's office. And we have been working with their Economic Recovery Task Force. And I can tell you that they've been very receptive to anything that we've, you know, put out on the table for them. We do plan to meet with them and lay out all of our plans, not just in the sport of football, but every contact sport, every fall sport that we offer. We have a plan as to how we plan to go about game day, competition days, how we plan to guide our schools and do the modifications needed to make the environment as safe as possible to prevent the spread of this infection. We feel like we can do that just as well as those state schools on game day. But we cannot do, Greg, and this is huge, and we totally understand their perspective, is that what we're getting from the NCAA, and we're working with some of the same medical professionals throughout the nation as they are. And I've said this many times before, we have a great working relationship with the NCAA. Our national building actually connects to their building. You walk out of the third floor of our building and go into the second floor of their building. I've had many conferences in the NCAA conference room because it's better than ours. Okay. But so what their plans are is that they're going to test every student athlete and every person that's involved in every contest a minimum of once a week at about $100 per test. That's huge. Testing is the key, you know, and one of the main keys. And we have no capability of doing that. You know, our schools cannot afford that. But so putting that aside, and you can't put that aside when you're looking at this, we have to do what we can do, and that's make the environment as safe as possible during the competition itself. And we're going to lay all that out to them and ask them to consider, at least look at what we're doing and consider, you know, middle and high school sports being a part of that exemption. I can't tell you if that's going to happen. What I did said to the board, in full disclosure, I said, just know that these meetings are taking place on the side, and we're working closely with them, but we can't sit back and wait until they make a decision. We got to have a plan in place and go forward, you know, right now. And so let's go ahead and make this decision, and we'll work on the other.
Bernard, it's obviously interesting times for all of us. Enjoy your fourth weekend, and you know, tell Matthew and everybody over there at the TSS Civil Office we said hello. We know how hard you guys are cranking it out over there. We'll find out what's going to happen, but you know, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Appreciate you all, Greg and John. Always a pleasure.